Have you ever found yourself wanting to seize an opportunity that excites you, but hesitated because of fear or uncertainty of how to make it all fall into place? Taking a leap of faith on an opportunity can unlock a multitude of incredible doors in your career.
Tune in into another episode of our Spotlight series with our inspiring guest speaker, Heather Goodchild, Vice President of Color Science, as she shares her incredible journey of embracing the unknown, conquering fears, and taking on opportunities without knowing exactly how to navigate them. Get ready to be inspired and discover how you too can dare to step into the unknown with confidence and excitement. Welcome to Secrets in Medical Device Sales. I am Annalisa Rhodes.
And I am Cynthia Ficarra. Together, we are the girls of grit. Get ready to make your ultimate dreams of success a reality with our wealth of knowledge gained from a combined 40 years experience.
We will share key secrets that will give you a competitive edge and pave the way for success in this coveted industry. Good afternoon, ladies. This is Annalise Rhodes, and I'm joined with my co-host, Cynthia Ficarra, and you are listening to the Secrets in Medical Device Sales, brought to you by the Girls of Grit. And today, we are hosting a very special lady. She absolutely epitomizes the word grit, and we are just so excited to have her with us. We have Heather Goodchild, and she is Vice President of Professional Business of Color Science. And Heather has an amazing story that she is going to share with all of you today. And I think everyone is going to pick up at least 5 different pearls from her talk today.
I'm very excited, Lisa, to get started with this interview. And hello to everybody. So yes, Heather, let's just dive right in. And can you tell us who you are and what it is that you do in your profession?
Yeah. So let's jump right in. So who am I? I'm a mom. I'm a wife, I'm a sister, I'm a daughter, and I'm also the vice president of professional business at an amazing company called Color Science. We are female-led. About 90% of our company is female, which is exciting, which I get is a little different here because you guys are leading this amazing initiative to help women step into roles that are traditionally held by men. And while 90% of our organization is made up of females, not all of those roles were previously held by females, right? So it's been an evolution like most brands. And it's been exciting for me to be able to be in a sales role in an industry where we are selling things. We have B2B as part of our business. And for me, it's been an evolution of really moving into roles that predominantly were once held by men. And now we're getting to see that women are holding vice president, director, or CEO, right? It's a phenomenal space to be in. And I'm excited to be on the podcast with you today.
Well, thank you. And you mentioned this high role that you're in now as vice president, but that's not where you started. So could you please tell us how you got started, where you started, and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah. So my story begins in college. I don't know, probably many start around that 19, 20 years old timeframe where you're going through a transition. I'd imagine similar to many of your listeners who are getting into device sales, pharmaceutical sales, maybe at one time they thought they were going to be a doctor. That was my story. I thought I was going to be a doctor, did pre-med, and then met some classes that helped me realize that maybe that wasn't going to be my track. Thanks to my mom. She said, you know what, if you're not going in there, why don't you go and get your esthetician's license? And so I did. I was pursuing my undergraduate degree in business with a minor in health science, so I didn't lose all my science. And at the same time, I got my aesthetics license and started working alongside a dermatologist in clinic through college and then a bit after. So I started what we would say in the treatment room. And that got me exposure to pharmaceuticals, the representatives who would call on our practice. And we had an opportunity to move from Orlando to Tampa for my husband's role. And I said, why not? I'll try pharmaceuticals. So that led me into pharmaceuticals, focused on acne, and then back over to the aesthetic side, which is where my heart is, with a startup company in skincare. At that time, it was Skin Medica. And I was with them for, 7 years, started in a territory, building out an expansion market. And then as the story goes, got opportunities to try a lot of different things, wear a number of different hats and kick off programs. When I first met Color Science, I was at SkinMedica and we had acquired the brand. So SkinMedica had acquired the brand Color Science. And then about a year later, Allergan had come along and acquired SkinMedica and said, I'm not really sure what to do with Color Science. So they spun it out. Investors who had invested in SkinMedica took it. Mary Fisher, who is our CEO at Color Science, was the CEO at SkinMedica, and she went to build and transform Color Science into the brand it is today and invited me to join her. And she's a woman where I would follow her anywhere. So that's where I came from and where I am now.
Wow. Wow. That's a great story. As you're talking, it makes me wonder, how did it feel when you left kind of the esthetician world and went into pharmaceuticals? Because obviously, you know, you were younger, but it's like something brand new. You didn't know anything about it. I'm assuming you had kind of the same call points, physicians, offices, totally. Yes, you worked in them, but it's different when you're on the opposite side of the quote unquote table. How did that feel? Did it feel scary? Were you scared, nervous? What did you do? How did you handle that moving straight into something brand new?
So like you said, I was young. I was 25, I believe, at that time. And so I think I was young enough to be completely naive to what I didn't totally know. And I just remember my first day after my several weeks of training, right? Then you get into the real world to go do this. Well, this was back before our phones had GPSs. TomToms were a thing. I know I'm dating myself for some reason.
I know, right?
So TomToms were a thing and I didn't yet have a TomTom. I was going to use, you go on, you Google your whole thing. It wasn't Waze. It was Google Maps or MapQuest.
It was MapQuest.
Yes. And I remember calling my husband my second day in tears because my MapQuest had brought me to a location that was a house. Not the actual hospital I was supposed to be going in. I guess they had the same street name. I was so lost. Oh my God. Someone who can get lost in a parking lot. So here the reality of I knew skin, but I did not know how to route a territory. I did not know what I was doing at all. And so it only took day two to realize like, wow, maybe I'm in over my head. But what I knew is I will figure it out, right? Like today was hard, but I was going to figure it out. And I will get to tomorrow and I will know where I'm going and I won't wind up at somebody's house. I will get to where I need to go and do what I need to do. But yeah, so I guess the fear didn't really set in until I was actually out in the real world doing it and then had the harsh reality of like, girl, you don't totally know what you're doing yet.
But you believed in yourself.
Yeah. It was like, I'll cry through it and then I'll figure it out and then did. And got to rapidly grow to, at that time, it was really quarter based. So we were looking at rankings at a quarter. And so it was fast, one of the rookies that was fast growing. You got the accolades that reassured you that you were figuring it out.
What do you think you did to expand on that growth? Not having, again, you come from the esthetician world into running a territory. Yes, you said you'd figure it out, but what did you do to figure it out?
Yeah. And why would someone take a chance on me, right? Like, here I was going into a sales position role and didn't have previous outside sales. So how did I sell myself on that? And I had some great people who were already in the industry guiding me. And they said, you may not know how to go out and route a territory or how to sell, but you know the inner workings of your customer. And so I really positioned that as, yes, I don't know this. I don't have that experience yet. You can teach me that. But what I bring to the table is knowing the inner workings of the people that we're calling on and we're trying to get our then prescriptions into and help them understand how that fits into what they're offering their patients. That is a harder thing to teach than how to route, right? And so I think that is why they took a chance on someone who didn't have the traditional background that they were looking for. The next thing was once I realized I didn't really know what I was doing, I had to reach out to the people who did. So I reached out to my team, my counterpart, and was humble enough to just say, help, I didn't get this. What are some of your best tips? How do you help me? Because we didn't cover this in our 2-week training. We got into all of the right. features and benefits of the medications, got into all that, but we didn't get into the reality of like really how to effectively route your territory. And so it was through listening to them, going to the people who have been there for a while, working with my counterpart who was representing other drugs, but was in the same market, and learning from them and being open enough to be like, hey, I don't really get it. And that vulnerability to admit that you don't have it, people want to help you. As soon as you say like, I don't think I've totally got it, people want to jump in and help you. It's been my experience. Most people genuinely want you to win.
Yeah. It sounds like you were basically saying yes to the job and then trying to figure it out along the way. And it makes me think, maybe is that again what you did when Skin Medica or Allergan spun Color Science off? Because that's kind of scary. I liken that, just like you said, a startup, I liken that to either a company divesting maybe their vascular part of their big brand, which I know a couple of big companies have done recently, and or the startup world. You leave a big company, you go for this kind of scary, kind of unknown. That's a scary jump. I mean, what told you that you were going to be okay, that you were going to navigate through it? Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I think you hit on something really important there, which has been maybe contrary to what's recommended these days, is I did say yes and then figured it out. And that allowed me to grow within Skin Medica. So at that time, it was a privately held organization, small, rapidly growing, which meant there were opportunities, whether I brought them forward or there were expansion opportunities. And maybe I hadn't done that thing before, but I knew that my heart was in a good place and that I'm their girl, right? I will help us figure it out. And so saying yes helped me go from a rep to a training manager to being the first ever strategic account manager and building out that program to leading that program and then moving into director of training and education within that 6-year time period. Well, actually it was 4 years from being a rep to that point and then Allergan coming along and purchasing us. For me, it was a little bit opposite. So here I had been in startup world or privately held and then going into a Fortune 500 company that had really big processes and a lot more things. That was actually scarier for me because I'll share this story because it kind of crystallizes that movement is we had our sales meeting and we were a smaller team, probably 100 in total. And our sales meetings were small enough. You didn't need a stage to get up on when you're doing training and education and leading, right? And now here we're at this big company and now I'm having to step up onto a stage. And that to me was the perfect embodiment of going from something smaller into this larger organization and having to step up on stage and feeling those nerves and going, you know what though? They acquired us for a reason, right? Like we have something special to bring. And I was a part of building that. And so don't forget that as you're stepping onto this new stage.
Yeah. And you had passion for the brand.
Oh, absolutely.
I think all your listeners do, right? I don't know that you can be successful in sales if you're not passionate about what you're representing and you're educating on, and then you're ultimately selling. Maybe for a little bit, but not long term.
Yeah.
One thing in listening to you is each step that you take, it seems you went in 110% and just jumped in and said, we'll figure this out.
Yeah.
And did you have other people with that same approach, or did they already kind of know where they are when you were the one that jumped in and said, I can help guide us a certain way? Or you said you're the first strategic account leader. What was the title you just said? I don't want to say it wrong.
Yeah, strategic account manager. So building out this program for how do we handle these top partners and what is that going to look like? And so, you know, I think it was a mix. In some cases, there may have been someone who said, we have this thing, we're going to do it. We're tapping you on the shoulder. We want you to step into it. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but here's some ideas. And then you go and figure it out. There's been other times within my career where I've gone, hey, here's an opportunity. An example of that was at the time we were doing great education for providers. So the doctors were providing education for estheticians, but the practice managers who are so critical to retail and successful retail in the practice, there wasn't much education. So I said, hey, what if we provided and created an educational program just for them? And I brought it forward and they said, okay, great. Here's $500, try it and see. So I had to create the program. I had to do all that. So it was bringing something forward and then being ready to say, okay, I'll step up into and execute it. Both examples, whatever the case may be, you think, okay, how do you have the confidence in yourself or how do you have the gumption to just sort of go for it? for me, I had people who believed in me that surrounded me too. So I've been very fortunate. Mine's not a constant story of adversity, right? I had people who were in my camp who said, yeah, you should talk to her, or she's going to be the next top, or she would be perfect for this because of XYZ. So having people around me, even if it was just one person who believed in me, also gave me that little boost that could tell me that I could do it too. And my mom and dad, I think that part of it is part of some of the things they did for me when I was younger. I remember I was probably around, 12 or 13 years old. And I wanted this desk because I wanted a desk in my bedroom to do my homework. I'm nerdy, I guess, I want this place to hold my books where I can study. And they said, okay. So they got me a desk and my dad said, but you're going to put it together. So I had to figure out how to put this thing together. I'd never put together furniture before, but I think it was some of those examples where they said, okay, but you're going to do it. We're not just going to do this for you. And by allowing me to do some tough things or to figure it out, that's where I started to gain confidence in knowing that I may not know how to do it, but I know I'll figure it out.
Your parents were empowering you at a very young age. And I love that. We talk about empowerment a lot in this podcast. And you also mentioned really having people that believed in you, and that's mentorship. That's leadership. Yes. I mean, we talk a lot about that in our podcast as well, is really finding those mentors. It's good to be a mentor, but it's also good to have mentors because I think that they have the experience that we don't have. They have different ideas and then they believe in you. You need those cheerleaders behind you to push you forward, to give you that support. So that you mentioned earlier on before we started this podcast is you had to sell a certain idea to the board of a company. Well, that's pretty scary. I mean, to be able to go before a board and sell an idea that you alone came up with, that takes a lot of gumption. I'd love for you to talk about that just a little bit with our listeners, because that's some big stuff.
Well, I'd like to add to that, because when you said that it wasn't so much that you had this idea, I feel that what you just described is seeing a problem, but approaching it solution oriented. And so, yes, if you could expand on that, because I think that's really important. And in our jobs, there's problems everywhere. And there are some people who would want to just sit there and complain about it. I love your approach that we've got a problem. Let's fix it. Let's figure out how to make it better. So yes, please expand.
Yeah. And it usually opens up expanded opportunities that you go in with one thought and you didn't even realize it could become so much more. Like that example became a national program that we did many times a year. More recently in my role as vice president of professional business, for anybody who is leading a sales team or maybe was part of a sales team at that time, was COVID, right? Where the world kind of upended on us and we were going, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? My approach to that was really just connecting with our partners, our accounts, our partners from across the country at various different types, because we call on not all of our partners looking, they're not all the same specialty. They're all recommending our products, but some are dermatologists, some are plastic surgeons, some are med spas. So they all look a little bit different. It was getting time to talk with them and really hear from them. What does their practice need in terms of support right now? And after about a month of that, I came away a lot of calls and a lot of discussions going, wow, we're going to have to change the way we've been doing things. And that was, we were a traditional rep to territory model. So you had a zip code that you were assigned to, and you had your accounts that you would open and your accounts that you would nourish and develop. And it was going, we're going to have to do this different, because what they're telling us is they don't need a rep right now. They need another level of business support that can be specialized enough to meet them where their business is right now, which meant that we couldn't just send a generalist group out the way that we had. We had to really reorganize that. So I spent a lot of time, a lot of tears, a lot of soul searching.
Oh my God.
And going through different, and a lot of researching different types of models that have come before, and thinking about how would we make that our own. You're right. You can't just go like, okay, guys, we're now going to do this, right? I had to talk to our sales leadership team and get them on board and make sure they saw the movement forward. Then once they were enrolled in it, it was, okay, now we've got to bring it forward to our executive team. And then we've got to bring it forward to our board, who most of their portfolio companies had never operated and still don't to this day operate in the type of model that we're in. So you're right. It did take some courage and it took some like, what if this doesn't work out type of soul searching through this. And I think that is whether you are leading teams or you're on a team where maybe your direction is about to change. It's taking a step back and not getting completely caught up in all of it and going, okay, what's really needed right now? What do my customers need right now? What does the company need right now? What does my team need right now? What do they need from me right now? And taking a few steps back from that to allow yourself to process and really think through, it was such a game changer for me in that very highly emotional, very scary time. And as a result, we haven't looked back. We are producing, our team is producing numbers. We just hit numbers that when our team was twice the size in an older model hadn't even hit. So here we are, wow, more productive than we've ever been before. And it was the courage of everyone on our team, including our investors, to say, yeah, let's try this. Let's change this up. There's no better time than right now to give this a go.
I see why you're a VP, because you have a vision. And I think that what better way than to bring people on board when you have a vision and come together and collaborate. It's just so impressive to hear you say that. One question I do have is, I love how you can see this and go forward. And I think there's many people that are listening to this who have that same makeup as you, as far as, I'm going to figure this out and we're going to do this. But can you just tell us what happens when you go to figure it out and your plan doesn't work? How do you pivot? How do you handle that? What do you do when your plan doesn't go as planned?
So that was a learning experience for me through, I've been in this industry, in the sales world of things for about 25 years now. So it was a learning process for me to realize that if you're going to try new things, you have to know that some of them aren't going to work out. Not every idea, not every concept that either you have or someone brings forward that you believe in is actually going to work out, and you've got to be okay with it. So the big thing is that once you start to have that feeling or the data is showing you it's not really working out, having the courage to go, you know what, this isn't working out as planned. So we have two options. We keep pushing it, or we say, we've got to pivot again. We've got to change this up. What, getting in and going, but what part of it? Is it the whole idea? Or is it a part of this that isn't working that we need to tweak and we need to change up? And to me, that is business, right? Because if you're not moving forward, you're just staying still and doing what you did, you're actually moving backwards. And so to move forward, that means you're going to have to be pressing on the gas pedal, pressing on the brake, and it's a start, stop, and a change, and you're moving lanes, and that's part of going forward. It's not a straight line. Being okay with knowing that it's not a straight line, but then also not going, gosh, this didn't work up, I'm going to blow the whole thing up. Maybe not. Maybe the whole thing doesn't blow up. Maybe there's a piece of that that you are able to take forward, or there's just a small tweak that needs to be made.
Wow, Cindy, how inspiring Heather is. I mean, everything she said, it was like I could hear a mic drop. She was just so open and genuine and honestly vulnerable, but gave us some really invaluable advice on her personal stories and all the opportunities that she decided to embrace, even though she was scared. And I think it really reminds us that we have to be reminded of what value we bring to our companies. I mean, we were all hired for a reason. Heather mentioned, look, I was told I may not have had the sales skills required as I was entering into a new company, but I had the value and the wisdom and my company knew it. And they reminded me of that. And I think that's something that we all need to remember when we start doubting ourselves, is we all bring a unique set of skills to the table for our companies and for ourselves. It's really important that we constantly remind ourselves, whether it's the mentors that are reminding us, or we just look in the mirror and say, you know what? I am worth it. I do bring value. I do have what it takes to get there.
That is very well said, Lisa. And I just want to expand on three great takeaways from today that Heather inspired all of us with. And I would say, number one, to have passion for what you're selling. And then number two, be creative in recognizing needs. She created new programs and then really being willing to pivot when needed. And I think the other thing that I really love the most is surrounding yourself with those who lift you up and believe in you and then help you believe in yourself, whether it's through mentorship, great team bonding. Those three things were very, very great to take away. And so next week, be sure to tune in as we continue this incredible interview. We're going to be diving in to the topic of leadership. So don't miss out on this engaging conversation, because we're going to explore more valuable insights from Heather and strategies she has for becoming a successful leader. Our call to action is simple. Take the next steps toward enhancing your career in medical device sales with our exclusive yet limited offer, a personalized resume building consultation. Whether you are new to the industry or looking to level up your game, we are here to help.
Don't miss out on this opportunity to boost your professional profile and stand out from the crowd. Schedule your consultation today and unlock those doors of opportunity. Go to our website now, thegirlsofgrit.com, and click on the right-hand corner where it says Book Now. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Secrets in Medical Device Sales, hosted by the Girls of Grit. You can find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest. Make it a great week, a better month, and a fantastic year.